Monday, everyone. Welcome to the Early Edge, brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. I see the chat is already buzzing. Let's see how we did on the recap screen before we bring in the stars of the show. We got a lot to talk about today, but we got to move on from this recap screen. 3-8 overall. Danny Brasco, 1-2. Adam Thompson gets us a win. He's 1-3. I get a win on my golf matchups, which are 15-2-1 over the last 3 weeks. Oh, by the way, otherwise, tough luck for this recap screen. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's just go ahead. It's a new week. Let's move forward and bring in the stars of the show. We've got a great show lined up for you. We're talking NBA. We're talking MLB. We're talking WNBA. We've got a lot to talk about, including a first five coming from me. But let's give out a pick right off the bat. Everybody hit the like button. We're going to give out two picks right off the bat here from Sportsline, Ben. We've got Brewers A's over 10.5, minus 122 from Micah Roberts, and Mikal Bridges over 12.5 points, minus 124. That one courtesy of PropBet Guy. PropBet Guy also has a Sportsline pick in MLB that I quite like. All right, let's bring back in the stars of the show here. Larry Hartstein got a big NBA game tonight. If the Knicks win, this thing is pretty much over, right?
Yeah, it's electric in the New York area right now. It's all anybody is talking about wherever you go. But, you know, the fans, as everyone says it's going to be for the Spurs, they just won a Game 7 in OKC, which is a very loud arena. It's not like those fans and those celebrities are allowed to go on the court and trip the Spurs. I mean, there's still the fundamental rules of basketball. I still give them a great chance tonight to make this a series. We've had two games, toss-up games, where the Knicks' experience showed down the stretch. And, you know, Wemby with the ridiculous turnover, Castle not looking for the ball. You're the point guard. You just checked in. I mean, inexcusable, but I don't think it's a case where we're just going to see the Spurs not show up because of this intimidating crowd.
Mikey B, I hear what Larry is saying, but I also watched that game and saw the Knicks take a huge lead in the third quarter. And I say that to say this, I thought the spread was a little light. I thought it was a little shorter than what I expected it to be. Your thoughts on what is still a tight spread?
Game two was one of the worst officiated games I have seen in a very long time. They let them be way too physical early. Yeah. They tried to correct it and then they couldn't. Then they called that weird technical foul on Mitchell Robinson for just jockeying for position, which has since been rescinded by the league. I think the Knicks will get a much more favorable whistle here in game three. I'm with you, Sia. -2, -2.5. I was very surprised. I could see the Knicks sweeping this series at this point. They just look like the more comfortable team. The Spurs are awesome, don't get me wrong, but they're inexperienced, and it's showing. And I think them beating the Thunder in that last series, that emotional game seven win, I think that was so big to them that maybe I don't want to say they overlooked the Knicks, but that was such an emotional series that, man, the Knicks just looked so much better. I know it's close, but the Knicks should have won game two by a lot. I mean, the refs were terrible. That was terrible.
Amex, I saw you vigorously nodding your head. We're going to get to picks in just a second. Obviously, we already gave out two Sportsline picks, but I know you're here for an MLB, but it looks like you have a Knicks take as well.
Yeah, I was watching that game as somebody that has a lot of really big Knicks fan friends. I was watching with them, and we were kind of in awe of how especially the second half was going with just no calls for the Knicks anywhere. It was 2:37 left in the fourth quarter when they got their first foul call that came on a challenge, a coach's challenge that they had to get it on. So it was crazy. I think I totally agree with Mike. I think they have a more favorable whistle.
We have a comment from David Bierman in the chat that if you wouldn't mind highlighting, Ben, I lost the comment in the chat. But Calvin Wetzel, real quick, you're here for WNBA, correct?
I am. And I know it's not nearly as high profile as the finals, but we got to pick on another New York team tonight or on a game with a New York team in the Liberty game. I'll leave it at that. But Commissioner's Cup action is well underway and it's been awesome so far.
All right, David Bierman in the chat says, we still love the Spurs first quarter money line trend, 10-2-2 over the last 14, including both finals games, and he says it's at even money. We got David Bierman and Mike McClure in the chat, among so many other great people that are part of this Sportsline family. Amags, hit us up. Again, we got two picks out of the way. Hit us up with an MLB pick or two.
Yeah, well, look, this game in Las Vegas here, actually going to be one of the first ones that they play, right, for the A's here in Las Vegas. You get this little series now. If you want to look it up, I don't know the exact dates, but there's two series here in June where they play instead of in Sacramento in Las Vegas, where their minor league team plays. So this will be a very interesting game and series between the Brewers and the A's. honestly, in this one, I'm just going to take the team that, in my opinion, is significantly better team that's won 10 out of their last 13, the Brewers here, in a game that projects to be rather high scoring. You see the totals out there, 10.5 and 11, kind of similar that we would think about in Sacramento with the minor league ballpark and all of that. But, you know, this coming in Vegas with some really hot weather, the total here has bumped up. So in a game that we think there's going to be a lot of runs, I'm going to take the better team, the better lineup, and the significantly better starting pitcher here in Kyle Harrison for the Brewers, who has just been a revelation this year. If you look at some of the underlying stuff for him as well, Kyle Harrison here, a 3.07 expected ERA. He's limited hard contact. He's limited barrels. And both of these offenses have really been similar against lefties. I do have to at least give the A's some credit with some of the bigger crooked numbers they've put up against some lefties of late. But I think Harrison is better than some of those arms they've faced. -1.5 for the Brewers here as the away team, going to get all their at-bats. And if you look, I was just looking at the numbers. I thought it was kind of interesting that on the first five, you know, the money line and the run line, both skewing towards the Brewers, of course, it makes sense. But I felt like we were seeing some value here in the full game with for a team in the Brewers that have a much better bullpen as well. You know, you kind of saw the Brewers there make a move for another reliever with this team. And, you know, they're not asking for relievers if they don't think they're good. So they are certainly trying to load up for the long haul here. And I just want to side with the Brewers. And Jackson Churio is a guy I'm really interested in for some player props tonight. Just been going off. And I like him against Spring. So -1.5 for the Brewers. +101, great price here. And I had to at least highlight the hat. I went to, you can kind of hear it in my voice, I'm running on fumes a little bit. Went to Wisconsin for a buddy's wedding, went through Chicago. It was a great time. I played Century World, where they had the 2023 U.S. Senior Open. So really, it's just an awesome time, and had to highlight that for a second.
All right, we got two picks on the Brewers because that sports line pick had the over 10.5, and now we have the Brewers -1.5. That game at 10 o'clock. The game that I like is at 9:40. So we're going to be up late tonight, not just watching the NBA, but watching Major League Baseball as well. Calvin, I want to get a question in for the WNBA before we get to Mikey B's basketball picks. I can't remember who asked it, but it was Asia Wilson under 3.5 assists. Of course, Vegas Aces against the Seattle Storm, huge favorites. Any thoughts on this play from Josh Clemente?
Yeah, well, first off, I just want to say I'm actually going to be at that Brewers game tonight. Later today, I have a flight out to Vegas. My brother lives in Vegas. Going to go visit him and go to that game. So I'll be there rooting for your pick, Max. But
that's awesome.
To Asia Wilson, yeah, I do think that under 3.5 assists is a good look. They have been using her as a little more of a hub, but they still have basically two point guards in Chelsea Gray and Jackie Young. And, you know, we were seeing 2.5 lines for her earlier in the season, and now it's up to 3.5 because she's been a little bit more of a facilitator. But I think it's creeped up a little bit too high, and I think it should be more of like a 2.5 juiced over, especially in a game, like you said, with a big spread where she might not play the fourth quarter. So I think that's a good look.
We have a lot of questions already in the chat. Hey, Mags, I want to ask at least one of these that I just saw, the one from Jen. And Carson, I'll ask your question to Mags later on in the show. But Jen says, got to jump on Ben Rice, 2+ hits, runs, RBIs, right? It's -110.
Yeah, if Jen likes a player prop, I'm generally going to tail it. And I do like this one. I agree with her. I looked back at Rice really quick this morning to see how he had done in that last game. They just faced Gavin Williams. They're going to see him again. Striking out looking in the first two at-bats and then a double in his third. So I do like that. I think he at some point here is going to get to Williams.
Hey, Mags, such a pro. So subtle. He says, I'm generally going to follow Jen. You love to see it. Mikey B, what you don't love to see is Josh Hart get to 4 assists, but not 4.5, and not getting the time, I guess maybe due to foul trouble. You're going right back to Josh Hart, and you have something to say about Devin Vassell.
Yeah, we had heartbreak on game two on our over Josh Hart 4.5 assists because he got in foul trouble and he played 18 minutes. So that was terrible. And though the heartbreak thing was not intentional, but it was pretty good. Yeah, so we're going to go back. Now we're going to do Josh Hart over 4.5 assists again. And right now I got it +104. It might be a little bit more juice in other places, but even if it's -110, -115, I like it. Only 18 minutes in game one, 4 assists, 6 assists in game one when he played 27 minutes. Over 16 playoff games, he's had 5 assists and 9 times. So I think he can avoid foul trouble at home with a better whistle. He goes way over this. Also, you got to remember with Josh Hart. Josh Hart is the big-time hustle guy. And with that home energy of the home crowd, he's really going to be amped up here. Lots of great shooters around him. So over 4.5 assists for Josh Hart's And then on the other side, Devin Vassell over 4.5 rebounds at minus 137. He has played a lot. He's played at least 36 minutes in both games of the series. Now, during the regular season, he averaged 31 minutes a game. But in the playoffs, he's averaged 34. And now because he's playing a lot more, he's grabbed at least 5 rebounds in 7 of his last 10 games, 9 rebounds in each of the first 2 games of this series. They're desperate right now. They're doing everything possible to stay alive. So I think he approaches 40 minutes again and goes over 4.5 rebounds.
All right, we got more NBA plays coming your way, and we've certainly got some questions. Larry, you've got something as well.
I just want to chime in and say I really like that second play, because even though a lot of people will say, how come you don't just play Harper with Castle and Fox and Wemby and one of the forwards? It doesn't work because the Knicks are so big on the wings with Ananobi. So that's why Vassell, like you said, his minutes have gone up this series. I really like that play, Mike.
All right. And by the way, we have a show on CBS Sports Network from 12 to 1 where we have almost half the show dedicated to the NBA. And Larry and Mikey B, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're on that show from 12 to 1 on CBS Sports Network, right, Larry?
I will be there.
Mikey B?
Can't wait.
Can't wait, says Bart Scott. And we've got Adam Thompson on that show as well. And if you're going to listen to that show, if you're going to listen to any of the picks on this Early Edge show, make sure you're aware of the BetMGM boost that BetMGM has to offer. BetMGM players will receive an NBA playoff odds boost for Game 3. To use the token, just make a bet in tonight's game. And if you win, you'll receive extra winnings and unrestricted bonus dollars. Again, it's an odds boost token. Score a bigger payout, courtesy of BetMGM. Again, I want to remind you, 12 to 1, we've got this CBS Sports Network show where we're not only going to focus on NBA, but we've got World Cup bets to talk about and the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, which have been completely and utterly wild. All right, more picks to get to. Home Run Chart, WNBA, more MLB, NBA. Your questions right after this message from our partners. We're back on the Early Edge, brought to you by BetMGM. Calvin Wetzel, let's get back to some WNBA. What's so interesting here is the Connecticut Sun. You had them last time out. Okay, so here's what happened. The last two times you've been on the show, you went 2-0, and then you bet on the Connecticut Sun, if memory serves, plus 14, and they were coasting to a cover until basically late in the fourth quarter. They get outscored in a pretty big way, and I think you lost the cover by a couple of points. Well, we're headed right back to the Sun.
I am. That was a brutal one. We had plus 14. They lost by 15 after missing a free throw with about 10 seconds left and being within a possession, like you said, in the fourth quarter. It looked like they had a chance to win outright, gave up a huge run late. And so I have to go back to them, even though they blew it in that one. I talked about Layla Lacan on the show last week when I made that pick, and they are 2-1 against the spread since she's been back. Of course, that was the one loss. So they're a free throw away from being 3-0. And I still love what she's done for this team. And I think that this Sun team is a totally different team in the last week or so with her in the lineup. And this is also as much about the Sun. It's about fading the New York Liberty. This is a plus 13 spread is where I'm taking the Sun, or plus 12.5 at some books. So this is well into the double digits for the Liberty as big favorites. And if you look at the last few years, this New York Liberty team, I've said it on this show before, they just do not tend to care whether they win by 7 or win by 20 when it gets to these big spreads and when it gets to these fourth quarters. So that type of fourth quarter that we saw from Connecticut against Atlanta, I don't think that can happen against the New York Liberty. If anything, it could be the opposite if Connecticut gets down big and Liberty take their foot off the gas. When you go back to the beginning of 2023, so 3+ seasons now, over 50 games, the New York Liberty are 14-37 against the spread when they're favored by over 10. So if you faded them in those spots, you would be hitting at a 73% rate. So I'm going to fade them again and ride the Connecticut Sun despite that bad beat last week. And this game tips off at 7 Eastern. So I mentioned there's another New York basketball team in action tonight. If you need a little appetizer, it should be wrapping up right around the time when the Knicks start. So if you're a New York basketball fan, tune into this one, or if you got a bet on the Sun, tune into this one and then flip over to the NBA Finals afterwards. But I love the Connecticut Sun again at plus 13. Hopefully they get us some redemption tonight.
I love the thought of having the New York Liberty game, Connecticut Sun game, as an appetizer leading into the Knicks game. I absolutely love to see that. So does A-Mags. And A-Mags, you and Mikey B are getting some questions. I know A-Mags specifically you, but I was talking to Mikey B about my play before the show started. Astros first 5 money line. There's a lot of people in the chat asking about that. So I'll bounce this off of you once I'm done here. So here's the thing. Grayson Rodriguez at home. Angels are at home. Astros in a travel spot. So there's a couple of things going for the Angels here. And one of them is that Spencer Arrighetti, who's been very good this season, is probably due, like AMAG said in the chat, which I noticed just about a minute ago, probably due for some regression, especially when you, like, you look at his ERA all you want. Look at his expected ERA, some of the advanced metrics. That is certainly going to regress. But and you can make another argument. Again, I'm on the Astros first five money line here at minus 120. You can make another argument that the Angels' bats are heating up. We saw what they did yesterday against the Dodgers. The bottom of the order specifically looked really good. With all of that said, I'm not impressed by this Angels lineup. And I'm specifically unimpressed with Grayson Rodriguez, who has been bad against bad teams and he's been bad against good teams. It's just been a disaster class for Grayson Rodriguez. So even though I think Spencer Arrighetti is going to regress a little bit, I still like the Astros on the road in the first five at minus 120. I will say this. I think that the first five over is probably a pretty nice play, as well as I think both these pitchers might get roughed up a little bit. But AMAX, give me your thoughts here on the Astros first five money line or the Astros in general, because I know that's what the chat was asking about.
Yeah, well, I mentioned it that I do side with Astros -1.5. Then, if you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna play it on the full game, I think you go with the +125, +130 out there for them to win by two runs. The thing that I find interesting too is I do think that Arrighetti, you know, he's not a 1.96 ERA, right? We have a over four expected ERA, like he's due for some regression. But at the same time, if we maybe pump the brakes a little bit, like he did limit barrels and some hard contact last year to righties. Like this is a righty heavy order. Maybe this isn't the exact spot he sees some of that regression is also to that. You know, if you're going to face a bunch of righties and you were slightly better against them anyways last year, looking at this year, it's been kind of similar. I think that I would just take the -1.5 at the plus money. Or like you said, first five, just get in and get out. Don't got to worry about that terrible Astros bullpen. Don't got to worry about anything that happens in the end of the game where the Angels somehow score six runs in the eighth inning. Just play the first five. And I do like that one. You have the push exception as well.
So Mikey B, two things. You like this play, or you like the Astros in certain ways, because we talked about it pre-show. Talk to me about that. But also, it appears that there is a comment I missed early in the show with a Pampers parlay that you've already put together.
Yeah, so I do like that Astros money line first five innings. I do like their over team total. The Angels have a terrible bullpen. And the reason why you like the first five innings as opposed to the full game money line is because the Astros also have a terrible bullpen. So both their bullpens stink. Now, the most important thing here, Chief, he's got a baby. Happy congratulations, you know, Chief TCG, newborn Pacers fan, Parker Mason. So congratulations. Maybe we could make a Bulls fan, but still, it's okay. So it's tough. It's the playoffs. Pampers parlays, we don't have as many options. But if a baby is born, we have to diaper them. So Josh Hart, over 4.5 assists. We've already talked about why we like that one. And then Landry Shamet to make at least 2 3-pointers. Shamet has been on fire. He's made at least three three-pointers in 6 of the last 7 games. Home crowd here, just a couple from the corner. So put those two together, +188 Pampers parlay. Congratulations, Chief.
First of all, I feel like all your two-leg parlays are all like +188 for some reason. AMAGs, go ahead.
I did want to at least, first off, I love this parlay, but I love the picture. That is an incredible graphic.
Good.
I mean, look at that. Someone's got to screenshot that and Mikey, we use that as your new profile picture or something. But I did want to at least mention, since before we got off the Astros train, was that Josh Hader is back now. So that Astros bullpen should be getting better. They hadn't been, but him and Brian Abreu at the back should be a lot better than they've had. So just watch for that over the next few weeks. He's only pitched in 2 games so far, Hader has.
And another reason, I mean, you guys and girls out there know I like to take first fives. But the other reason that I like the first five better is the price is better. From what I recall seeing, the full game on the money line for the Astros is closer to that minus 140 range, where you can catch minus 120s and minus 125s at the major books on the first five. All right, well, congratulations to Parker Mason and Larry Hartstein. Maybe at the end of the night tonight, we're going to be saying congratulations to Dylan Harper.
Yeah, Dylan Harper grew up a Knicks fan in New Jersey, just 25 to 30 minutes away, went to the Garden watching games. And this guy is 20 years old, but if you've watched him at all, he is not afraid of this moment. In fact, he was the reason, one of the biggest reasons the Spurs made that great comeback in game two. And we saw his minutes go up from 28 to 32. He has the best plus minus of any Spur in the series. Basically, he is the one Spur that can put the ball on the floor and get to the basket, and the Knicks have a problem defending. I love Dylan Harper in so many aspects tonight, but I'm going to go over on his PRA. I got this at 21.5. I'm still seeing that. It's heavily juiced, though. If you want to go 22.5, I'm fine with that. Basically, Stephon Castle, his minutes are going to go down a little bit. I really believe that. I think he's going to play more in the mid to high 20s. He tweaked his ankle in the fourth quarter of game four. He was part of the turnover that cost them the game. And he's not a great shooter. 5 of 14 in game two. Dylan Harper has not shot the ball well from three, and yet he has still been the most effective player for the Spurs. He's only 1 of 7 from deep in the series, but you know, he leads every player in the NBA in transition points. I think the Spurs, if they have any hope tonight, have to speed up the pace. They cannot get bogged down in a half court game because that plays to the Knicks' strengths. I'm on Dylan Harper. Regardless of the outcome tonight, I think he can get this 22, 24, 25, maybe even high 20s.
Speaking of 20s, I think we can get to 125 likes within the next 60 seconds. Everybody, yeah, there's a lot of people in here. Hit the like button as soon as you get in here, if you could. And if you're watching after the fact, hit the like button then as well. It certainly helps. Mikal Bridges, noted New York Knicks fan, Richard Pierre, friend of the show. Mikal Bridges over 12.5 points, minus 120. Mikey B, your thoughts on Mikal Bridges, who was awesome in game two?
Yeah, it was really weird. I was over his over points total in game one. He only took 6 shots. He's been great. That was the only game where he really wasn't looking to shoot. I mean, he's great in the mid-range. He gets a lot of open looks because of Brunson and Kat and Anunoby. So I like that over too.
Real quick from Jen, Shamit 3+3s. I know you like the 2+, but given this number at plus 200, is that something you like, or do you like it more at 2+ as a parlay piece?
No, I think that's well worth the risk there at plus 200. That's a good spot there, Jen. Like I said, he's been making 3 3-pointers or more a lot lately. He just sits in that corner and the teams forget about him, and you can't forget about him. He's been on one of the best 3-point shooting streaks in the playoffs that we've seen in a very long time. So at plus 200, I think that's worth the risk.
Let's get to some baseball picks. Carson Baddeley, AMAG says, I mean, this is such a high number. We rarely see this from any pitcher. Christopher Sanchez, and correct me if I'm wrong, by the way, Christopher Sanchez over 20.5 outs at minus 110. Your thoughts?
Yeah, we generally don't see, the 20.5, right? Because you have to complete 7 full innings now. 19.5, 18.5, we see much more often. Yeah. But, Sanchez has been incredible. I was looking at the strikeouts trying to think, you know what, maybe under 6.5 strikeouts here, right? This is a spot where, and I think it was 6.5, I might get the number wrong, but the under on the strikeouts is the thought, because you're likely going to have a Toronto team that doesn't strike out as much. But I was a little bit surprised when you looked at some of their recent games against lefties. It was like, I think 4 out of the last 5, at least 6 strikeouts, and 3 of those were 7 strikeouts. So maybe just a bit of a change, or kind of like a changing of the tide for some of their numbers, but still, it's likely due to that, where he's probably not getting as deep into counts. He's probably, you know, getting a lot more balls in play, and he's just been amazing. So that's where the numbers, I would, at that point, either look to the under or just hold off. Honestly, you know, betting 7 full innings is tough, but if there's anybody that's done it, it's Sanchez.
Larry, did you have something?
I had something on a question about the Spurs first quarter, and we had David Bierman in here talking about how efficient the Spurs have been in the first quarter. It's very interesting. The Knicks are favored for the game, but if you look across the books, they're all giving you Spurs minus a half in the first quarter. Now, it is, you know, usually around even money, and the Knicks plus a half is in the minus 120 range. But it is interesting that the books expect the Spurs to come out fast. They're scoring on the road in the first quarter, was tops in the league throughout the year, you know, almost 32 points a game. I like their team total in the first quarter a little bit better than the spread. Over 27.5 is a look for me there. But I do think they come out fast.
I couldn't help but notice that Ben entered the stream because he's the first quarter connoisseur. Ben, did you want to give out a play on the first quarter or at least a lean?
Yeah, well, I do like the first quarter for the Spurs. I think they probably go over their team total, too, of 28. So I think they can get to 30 points in that first quarter. But I just wanted to highlight this comment. I think, you know, I love fun angles to things like this. And I think with everyone getting there late, you know, Secret Service is going to be there. The lines are going to be crazy. People may be getting to their seats late. I love this angle with the fans just not being fully in it to start this game. So the Spurs first quarter from that angle is awesome too.
So for those listening to the podcast, thank you for listening. This is from Josh Davis who says, Larry, do you think with everyone being late getting into MSG, does that favor the Spurs in the first quarter? So Larry, do you want to follow up?
Yeah, I do. And I really appreciate what Josh Hart said. He was, you know, pained that the Knicks fans who have been waiting for this for 50 years can't afford to go to the game now because you're talking over 5,000 just to get in. I think, you know, maybe it's more of a Super Bowl crowd if you're talking about a very wealthy crowd and not the diehard Knicks fans that have been there through thick and thin. So maybe it's not as raucous. I still think it'll be raucous. I still think it'll be nuts. I'm not banking on the late arrival being a factor.
It's interesting. It feels like it's not going to be like this, but to your point, it might be a little bit more Super Bowl corporate than it needs to be at MSG. So there's something to be said for that. Scott Edwards, AMAG, says, thoughts on the Nats San Francisco over 7.5. I can tell you it's moved to 8 in some places. Miles Michaelis on the mound, Logan Webb.
Yeah, I would lean to the over at the 7.5. Hold off on 8, in my opinion. You know, you do get the push if it gets to 8, right? But you're going to need 9 runs. I guess the only thought really for me is just that this is kind of like the fade, the Sunday night game spot, right? The traditional, this team was, you know, playing on Sunday night. Now they've got to travel, actually. You're looking at that, for them, really not a great travel spot. You've got to get back home. So, I would say it's an over, lean over at 7.5, but I'll hold off at 8.
Larry, go ahead.
A great comment from Brian about how tonight's game will have a lot of dress shirts under jerseys with tags still on them. You know, but it's always a little bit of a corporate crowd at MSG. Quick story, when I was much, much younger, wanted to go to a Knicks game. I got what I thought was a great deal. The tickets outside, somebody sold me for like 90 or 100 bucks. I felt great. We got in. They were counterfeit tickets. I got taken to an office by some security people. They told me that we were not going to the game, to be wary of this. And they basically put us on some list and kind of scared us. And that was the last time I tried to scalp outside MSG.
Yikes. All right. Cosmic Charlie, Calvin Wetzel says, can the Mystics cover the 4.5 points at -110 at Indiana?
Yeah, well, they're coming off a big loss, and I think this is a good buy low bounce back spot for them. And any time that you're going to bet on a Fever game, if I had to lean aside, I'm gonna lean to fade the Fever just because there's always a little bit of a Caitlin Clark tax if you're going to bet on the Fever. Those lines are always a little bit inflated, whether it's team stuff or her props. So I like fading the Fever. Yeah, I'll take the Mystics.
Chief TCG, he says LFG. I'm not sure what that stands for. You guys are amazing. Been watching for years. Thanks again, guys. Really appreciate that. Chief, if you want to, go over to the podcast. It sounds like you've been listening there because I don't see you in the live chat a ton. Thanks for being in here. Go review the podcast on Apple or Spotify. It takes about 5 seconds. It would be very helpful. We had a Champagne question from, let's see, Bet OJ Freak. I'll give this to you, Mikey B. Champagne over 10.5 points. Your thoughts?
Yeah, his three-point line's pretty high. I know Adam has been all over his threes. Yeah. The reasoning Adam has given is exactly right on. He just doesn't shoot twos. He's shooting a lot of three-pointers. I would lean over, but again, we have to remember role players generally don't play as well on the road. So that's something to keep in mind. I would rather the over on the 10.5 points than the 3.5 three-pointers. 3.5 is a big number for threes.
I will tell you that the CBS Sports Network show, we're going to have a lot more basketball discussion. We're going to put that show on the Sportsline YouTube channel with, you know, kind of some of our favorite plays. So make sure you're dialed in there. Let's go to Mikey B. Carl Anthony Towns. So Scott Edwards says 29 points and rebounds. I got to get to the home run chart, which I'll do in just a second. Points, rebounds, and assists, points, rebounds. Any thoughts on Cat tonight?
Yeah, his points line's creeped up to 17.5. You know, I was on the under for game one, the over for game two, went 1-1 there. I think he has another big game. So if this 29 points rebounds, I would go over that. He has been the difference in this series. We talk about how clutch Brunson is, but Towns has played great offensively, and he's at least made things difficult for Wemby. No one's going to stop Wemby. You just have to make life difficult, and that's what Cat has done while mostly avoiding foul trouble. I mean, he got into a little bit of foul trouble in game two, but everyone on the Knicks got in foul trouble in game two. So, I would lean over there.
Let's take a look at the home run chart, and then we'll do one more MLB question for AMAGS, and we'll get everybody out of here with the recap screen. Top MLB home run plays, courtesy of the Inside the Lines crew, Alec Bohm, Luke Rayleigh, and Dominic Canzone. We've got plus 460 versus plus 650, plus 330 versus plus 425, and plus 450 versus plus 502 in that order. AMAGS, any thoughts on these three?
Yeah, got to go with the lefties if you're going to try to go against Chris Bassett there with those couple of Mariners. So I do like those. And we've talked about Luke Rayleigh in the Discord quite a bit. There has been some frustration around him because he gets pinch hit for a lot. Now, the issues for Bassett against lefties, six home runs and 32 innings, makes sense to keep him in the lineup. But if for some reason they do bring in maybe a Keenan Aiken, that lefty out of the bullpen to try to face off with him, they might pinch hit for him. So there's been a lot of frustration, like I said. Maybe for Luke Rayleigh, you bet the at-bat home runs and try to, kind of guard against only seeing two at-bats and betting the full game home run. But I do like those lefties against Chris Bassett.
AMAGS, we have to ask Liddy's question. AMAGS, Cleveland minus 130 versus the Yankees. Will Warren, Gavin Williams on the mound. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so I'm not going to bet a side in that one, but I do have to at least maybe mention no Aaron Judge, no Giancarlo Stanton. Like, it's been a little bit of a rough lineup here that the Yankees are going to have to put out. They still are scoring, and I do think that the lefties, Grisham and Ben Rice, and you even saw Jazz Chisholm with a home run the other night. That's those guys are going to hit and produce some runs, but I'm not going to try to bet a side here because I really would rather side with Cleveland and Gavin Williams. Just something says to me maybe the Yankees get to him today because they just saw him the other day. So I'll stay off of that, but Williams over 6.5 strikeouts might be a good look here.
All right, let's get to the recap screen. Larry, did you have anything to add? I know you've been involved in the chat. Anything we might have missed?
I don't think so. I'm enjoying the chat, enjoying all the good wishes. I think everybody's pumped up for a big night of sports.
Yeah, and everybody's pumped up, I know, for the July 1st meetup as well. So we'll bring that back up again, Larry, next time you're on, and maybe even give out some more details. But again, if you need information on the July 1st meetup at Wrigley Field, email Larry Hartstein at larry.hartstein@paramount.com. You can message us on Twitter if you have any questions, anything like that. Astros first five money line minus 120. That's my play tonight in MLB. We go to Mikey B, Josh Hart over 4.5 assists at plus 104, and Devin Vassell over 4.5 rebounds at minus 137. Sticking with the NBA with the maestro, Dylan Harper over 21.5 points, rebounds, and assists, minus 133. Back to baseball, Brewers run line, minus 1.5 at plus 101. We like that game over at Sportsline too, because I know we have picks there, and I know the chat is very interested in the Brewers tonight as well. The Sun, plus 13, minus 110, and if memory serves, Calvin's actually going to be at that Brewers game, so that's pretty exciting as well, but he's on the Sun plus 13 officially, and we got the Brewers A's over 10.5, minus 122 from Micah Roberts, and again, there's other sports line picks on this game as well. And Mikal Bridges over 12.5 points, minus 124, courtesy of Prop Bet Guy. Or at least I think there's other picks on sports. And I might be thinking of the game that I've got action in, which of course is that fade of Grayson Rodriguez. So that might be what I'm referring to. But to get all those details, go to sportsline.com. If you're not a member, sportsline.com/join. Make sure you see all the picks today across all the sports. Big thank you to Mikey B, AMAGS, Calvin Wetzel, Larry Hartstein, of course, Ben on the ones and twos and threes and fours. Have a great day. Don't forget to catch us on CBS Sports Network from 12 to 1 o'clock. And make sure you are subscribed to the Sportsline YouTube channel. We'll see you very soon. We rest our case.